It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, the home of the college football playoff. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down in New York City. Man, it's good to be here. College football playoff rankings were just released. In 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Jared Dubin, who covers all things NFL for CBS Sports. And we've been talking about a lot already. Where have you been? The show gets started 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific every weekday. You can listen on the free Odyssey app, where you can also hit rewind. You can hit pause. You can do what you want. The app is free, by the way. Thank you to everybody listening live on whatever radio station where they live, whatever their local affiliate is. Thank you. Appreciate you. If you got SiriusXM, shout outs to my truckers, my people on the road, the highways, the byways, the freeways, the expressways, the parkways, SiriusXM channel 158. And if you're at work, if you're at home, you have a smart speaker, just ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. It pops right on up. We talked about the aging LeBron James, who's just a little older. He ain't cooked. He's not done. Just old and in a slump and tired. Give him a break. Talked about Jameis Winston wanting to be delivered from his pick sixes. Hey, we're going to show love. I ain't forget. We're going to get the Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels. We'll talk about them. Aziz Al-Shaahir is now facing a 3-game suspension from the NFL for laying out Trevor Lawrence. Man, they were angry. When I say they, Nick Caserio, the GM of the Texans, he was mad. He was, as a matter of fact, he was mad at the NFL. You would think that the NFL might fine him for being mad at them. He's like, my guy doesn't deserve a 3-game suspension. He ain't do nothing. He just hit a guy by mistake. Listen to this.
What we take umbrage is just the picture that's been painted about Aziz, his intentions, who he is as a person. I mean, quite frankly, it's and it's unfair to the individual. It's unfair to the organization.
They fined him twice already this year for hitting a quarterback. They fined him last week for hitting a Tony Pollard from the Titans. He punched them as well. And then this week he laid out Trevor Lawrence. So he may not be a bad guy, but he's a dirty football player. Okay, I'm not putting him in the category of Vontaze Burfict trying to go out there and kill people. But he is kind of reckless. You need to play under control. It's just what it is. All the best to Trevor Lawrence and his recovery. We heard from Tom Brady. He's just like, hey, don't blame the defenders. Blame the offense for putting the quarterback in this position. We talked about a potential rule just being discussed. It's not on its way. It's not a guarantee, but it's being discussed in baseball. It's like a golden bat rule, like a golden ticket. Take this golden ticket and do what you want with it. This would allow a manager to pick a player at any point in the game and say, nah, my guy at the plate sucks right now. I need to put my superstar up there. So just kind of bucking rules and trends in baseball where you pull a guy off the bench and you substitute a guy, you do it once. No, you just pick a guy in the lineup and say, no, I need him in this spot right now. Hopefully baseball doesn't do it. And as I just mentioned to you, we just got the latest results of the college football playoff rankings. This is it. By the time we get to Sunday, it's done. It's over. It's final. The rankings are the rankings. A team like Miami, which just lost to Syracuse, they have fallen to 12. Ole Miss is at 13. Alabama sits in front of Miami at 11. Boise State is at 10. Indiana 9. SMU 8. Tennessee 7. The Ohio State is at 6. The Georgia Bulldogs at 5, Notre Dame at 4, Penn State at 3. The Longhorns move up to number 2, used to seeing Ohio State sit in that spot. And Oregon, the Ducks, are just there at 1. Dylan Gabriel and Dan Lanning are just there at 1. Undefeated, 12-0. And Hickey, I got to be honest, if the Ducks, if they don't win the national championship, I don't think anybody's going to just go, oh, my God, what a massive shock. Oh, my God, what a disappointment. Oh, my God, how did Oregon, you know, sit at number 1 all year? And, oh, how did they choke this away? I think people would just chalk it up to this year. It's just a wild, wild west all over the place, man.
It has been, but they, for the most part, have been the only one that's, you know, not been susceptible to the chaos. They're the only program in all of college football undefeated at 12-0. They don't really have a weakness. They're getting healthy. That I would be surprised. If they don't win the national title, I would be surprised just because of how well they've played so far this year. Yeah, I think they have the talent, the coaching.
You favor them over everybody.
Over everybody. There's not one team right now that I think they could lose to or that they would be underdogs to.
Okay. I have Oregon. I have Georgia. I don't trust Quinn Ewers. I don't know. You know it'd be cool if we just got Arch time. Wouldn't that be great? Like, I would root for that. I'm not rooting for anybody outside of Georgia to win. I'm not all that confident that they will because I don't trust Carson Beck. But if I just want the stories. I would love a story where Arch Manning has to take over and then takes things to another level. Similar to what we saw years ago at Alabama when, we had Hurts and Tua. Like, I need that type of situation. Wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, we already got it once in the Georgia game, at least, when Quinn was benched. Now, Arch did not look much better.
No, I need that in a game here at the end of the season, Hickey. That's what I need.
I'm saying we saw it already. It didn't really go well. You think now Arch 2.0 will come in here and lead Texas to victory?
Well, he's had a year of seasoning. Had a little bit more of that by now.
Yeah, he was able to get some runs in the red zone against A&M on Saturday, so you'll probably see him on the fields in the Georgia or in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. So you'll get a sprinkle of Arch, which is more than we've gotten for most of the season.
I need more Manning legend. I need another story in the long line of Manning. That's what I'm hoping for.
And I know interesting. You know that?
Why? Why?
Just because you have your teams, you root for them, but at the same time, you almost enjoy rooting against them. You want to see the Jets just burn. You want to see them. You're almost like, who was, Jamarcus Russell goes, if you don't call me a bust, I'll call me the biggest bust ever. Right, if the Jets are going to fail, you want to see just the absolute biggest failure. The most carnage possible.
Because I'm realistic. And so if I feel that the team is not going to win, the next thing I'm rooting for, if I feel it's more likely, I'm rooting for the story. Like, I love a good Manning story. Okay, we got Peyton Manning. Guy breaks his neck. He comes back, and he's winning Super. What? What? What?
He's like in a car accident. He's walking around with, like, a neck brace on. The Colts say, get the hell out of here.
He might as well have. Man.
Get you and your giraffe neck brace on out of here.
Hickey, if his neck weren't that long, he would need them surgeries, okay?
It's a lot of weight he's holding on the head, and that's a lot of neck.
A lot of forehead, a lot of neck. God bless him. Look, okay, anyway. He went to Denver. At least he got one out of two. He won a championship. Don't even get me started on Eli. Like, God closed his eyes, Hickey. And he just he had a room full of QBs. He closed his eyes. He just like him. It's just like him, that guy. Yeah, him. Just bless him. And two titles. Just whatever. Just make it interesting him. That'll be his life story. And that's what we got with Eli. And then Arch is like the athletic version, hopefully, of both of them somewhere in the middle. And so I'm just ready. I've said this. I'm sick of Quinn Ewers. I'm sick of him. And then what's going to happen? He ain't going to the league because there was all this talk of, oh, Quinn Ewers is going to come back now, big himself up, higher draft selection. Ain't nobody looking at him in no first round. He's going to try to come back. And so at what point does Arch Manning go, bruh, it's time for you to leave. It's my time. And then how does that work?
You think Quinn Ewers is coming back next year?
You think he's going to the draft?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think he's getting drafted?
I think you are a doubter. I'm telling you, he's getting drafted in the first round. Whether he should or not is a different discussion.
Oh.
I would bet a lot of money, and maybe even more money than I have, that he will be drafted at some point in the first round.
What dumbass team is doing that?
Oh, look around. There's a lot. there's a team that sold themselves on Kenny Pickett.
Where were
Mitch
we?
Mitch Trubisky.
Were we physically in the same place the year that Will Levis lasted for a couple of days, like into the second? Were we Were we in Kansas or something like that?
We were together in Chile because our studio was outside, so we really got the elements there. In Chile, Kansas City, behind, well, nowhere close to the stage, honestly.
Oh, my God. They made us walk.
Oh.
Oh, my God. The walk into security into that place.
Up the hill.
Hickey, I walked from the hotel. There was an all the way. Did you have to walk from the hotel to the stage?
Oh, we got reception. I must have walked miles, like almost 10 miles
that
day.
It was cold.
It was cold.
What if I happened if I got frostbite and said I couldn't talk?
Would that be not good.
Would that work? Could I use that for a future year?
I mean, I'm no doctor. I don't know how frostbite affects the vocal cords, but you know what? You sold me. If you can sell it enough.
My toes were cold. I can't work.
Toes were cold. I fell out of the chair and I can't get up.
Yeah, I remember that. I was getting ready to take my 5-mile walk to the set, and I'm getting ready to walk out the door. And Lamar Jackson, they gave him a new contract when everybody said he was stupid. So, yeah, I remember that day. And I also froze. And then Will Levis had to sit around for 2 days. Like, he didn't get drafted. He was sitting in the green room. Well, am I correct? He was sitting in the green room, and he didn't get selected, and we all had to go, he's going home, right? He's not coming back. That is what's going to happen to Quinn Ewers.
I think I remember correctly, he like literally walked in the door from the flight to get back home the moment he was picked at whatever it was, like 34 by the Titans. So as he's walking in the door, I think it was when he got the call that he's getting drafted the next day.
Will Levis, did he get off a private plane?
I don't know if it was private. I don't know if it was, I mean, probably not, right? If
you're say, like, what a waste.
Well, that's also true.
Who's advancing him that money? They want it back.
That agent, whatever. Man.
Yeah, after, that agent.
He probably thinking, this guy's going first round, big signing bonus. I'm set, whatever you want. You know what? I'll get the plane there and back. It's on me. Don't worry.
Yeah.
A lot of money was lost that night.
Yeah, he's like, man, I took an L on this one. Man.
We'll get your Mayo deals. We're going to get you set for a big second contract. You're going to be the next star.
Backup. Backup city. it awaits him. Will Levis is... He's going to be on the backup. Maybe he ends up being a great coach. He can learn a lot on the sideline somewhere. We'll find out sooner than later. We'll see what happens in the conference championship, at least the SEC conference championship. I'm just ready for Arch Manning. I don't trust Carson Beck. Hickey, like you said, I'm odd in that regard. I'd be looking at Arch Manning to torch him while Carson Beck looks terrible. Yeah. I would. I got problems. I do. Anyway. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Yeah, I don't trust Quinn Ewers as far as I can throw him, but we'll see what happens. Once again, Texas sitting here at number 2, Oregon at number 1. Dylan Gabriel lighting it up this year. 3,200 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And I did mention to you earlier in the show, we had another Duck, who's been lighting it up in the NFL. His name is Bo Nix. We don't know if he's going to end up Rookie of the Year. I think it's real simple, Hickey. There's a possibility that I was going to say whatever team makes it to the postseason is going to be the squad or the players going to end up with Rookie of the Year. I think the Broncos aren't going to fall off. I have less confidence in Washington, but then when you look at their division, like, what are the Cowboys going to do? Cowboys aren't jumping. Am I hear people got faith in them. I feel like there's a better percentage that Denver makes it in as opposed to Washington because they ain't catching up with the Eagles.
Agreed. And then when you look at for Denver especially, right, coming out of the bye, they play the Colts. The Colts are right now the team that's hottest on their trail, if you will, right now 2 games behind. You win that game, you go up 3 games with the tiebreaker, with 3 games. I mean, I got to do the math. They may clinch the playoffs right there. So they are basically one win away from either fully guaranteeing or essentially guaranteeing a playoff berth here. I would agree with Denver.
Yeah, as it stands right now, Denver, they are in the 7th spot behind the Ravens. Final spot, we know they've expanded the playoffs now. Only one team gets a bye in each conference. The Broncos have a 76% chance of going to the postseason. Meanwhile, you take a look at the NFC. The Commanders are also in the 7th and final spot with a record equal at 8-5 with a 71% chance of making the postseason. And right behind them, you have the Buccaneers, who are 6-6. You have the Cardinals, who are 6-6. The Rams, who are 6-6, and you could put a fork in this team. We told you they're done. The 49ers are sitting there at 11. So we'll see how things continue to shake out as the playoff picture in the NFL continues to just, I don't want to say wrap up, but round out now that we're at the beginning of December. Damn, time flies and too quick. A matter of fact, let's dive deeper. We talked about the college football playoff. Let's take a deeper dive into the NFL playoffs and what some of these standings look like and the injuries and what some of these teams that are in and out, what they need to do. Let's have a chat with Jared Dubin. He writes all things NFL for CBS. We'll have that chat on the other side of the break. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we just got the latest rankings for the college football playoff. We got the NFL going down the stretch run. We got coaches who are getting the boot. We got players who are out for the season. We have teams that are rising. We got teams that are falling. To talk about it all is someone who covers the league, writes about the league for CBS. Joining us right now is Jared Dubin. Jared, thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I guess right out of the gate, some of the larger news that we got today, unfortunately, you had to deal with a quarterback who got knocked out today. Trevor Lawrence, facing that concussion. Azeez Al-Shaahir, suspended right now for 3 games. Apparently, he will appear. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson is likely done and Trevor Lawrence is already dealing with a shoulder, are we going to see Trevor Lawrence again this year, or should they just wait till next?
I mean, I would wait until next year. I'm also not, you know, coaching for my job, and that's not, we can't say the same about Doug Peterson. I can't imagine that anything that could happen down the stretch of the season would result in him keeping that job, but stranger things have happened.
Jared Dubin here with us. When you talk about quarterbacks and keeping their jobs, we saw following Thanksgiving the disaster that is Eberflus. And we know with Caleb Williams in the building, they're probably going to want to go with an offensive-minded coach. What are your thoughts on what Chicago will do with that vacant position in the summertime, or the spring, I should say?
I would be looking for an offensive head coach. I'm pretty surprised, and I was pretty surprised at the time, that they brought Eberflus back and didn't just go with an offensive head coach to start Caleb Williams' career. Now 3 times in a row that they're going to be hiring a new coach after the first season of a top draft pick's career at quarterback, and that's just, you don't want to do things that way. Like, Caleb's going to have to get, you know, a whole new system, most likely a whole new coaching staff going into year two of his career. Any progress that he has down the stretch of this season, unless Thomas Brown gets the head coaching job, which, you know, we've seen interim guys get coaching jobs before, doesn't necessarily work out so well. Look at the Raiders with Antonio Pierce. You know, so unless Thomas Brown gets a full-time job, he's going to have to learn a whole new offense again. And they just should have done this last year, probably.
Well, we know that Caleb Williams was elected number one overall. He's not in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. That is pretty much at the hands and or feet of Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. And they're dealing with, quote-unquote, quarterback whisperers, Cliff Kingsbury, Sean Payton. What do you think about the performance of both of these QBs? And who do you think might have the edge in Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Daniels probably has the edge. He's been better on balance for the entire season. There were a few weeks there where Nix's best stretch of the season coincided with Daniels' worst stretch of the season. But I think we've seen that with the exception of the few games after he suffered that rib injury that he missed, I think, pretty much the entire game against the Panthers and then sort of struggled a little bit for the next few games, Daniels has just been, you know, unbelievable. One of the best quarterbacks in the league in all of the other games. And, you know, Nix has played well, but I think Daniels has played at a higher level.
Yeah, Jared Dubin is here with us from CBS Sports. Unfortunately, you know, we can look at one team as well over the weekend. They're probably done. Their quarterback was, he's still going to land a big old deal. I'm talking about the 49ers and Purdy and losing Christian McCaffrey. Can we go ahead and put a fork in the 49ers? They're done, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Obviously, the thing is, though, they're only like, what is it, a game and a half, a game back, two games back, whatever it is in the division. Like, they've got a bunch of division games down the stretch. Like, if you get to 9-8, 10-7, can you win the NFC West? Maybe. But they also don't look like a team that's about to reel off five straight wins.
Well, most certainly. Well, if we flip it over to the AFC side, another team not looking too good happens to be the Baltimore Ravens. The defensive backs are not stopping any or anything, and now they have an issue with Justin Tucker not being able to find the middle of the uprights. Do you have confidence that the Ravens will turn it around, or do they have too many issues on defense and then with the kicker?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing is the defense has at least played a little bit better recently. You know, they until sort of the end of that game against the Eagles, they were doing a pretty good job before Saquon sort of ran them over toward the end of the game. And so that's somewhat encouraging. Justin Tucker, I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of suffered one of those fake injuries that teams give players. I don't know what else you could do other than, you know, trust that a guy who has been the most accurate kicker in NFL history for most of his career is going to start making his kicks again. You know, most of his misses are in these last several weeks of the year. I think he's like 7-for-12 in the last five games or something along those lines. A lot of the misses, granted, are, you know, pretty deep kicks. I think all five of his missed field goals are from 47 yards or further, but he's also missed a couple extra points in there, and that's not characteristic, and it's just sort of snowballing. I don't really know what to do there.
Well, if you were John Harbaugh, would you keep him in? Is that the safest option? Would you hold on, or would you look elsewhere?
I mean, I'm not, like, cutting him. The guy has been too good for too long and obviously is such a big part of their team. But I would say, like, hey, is any part of your body bothering you? Do you want to, like, should we sit you down for a couple weeks, get you healthy and see what's going on there? Like, there's got to be something that you could do because you can't keep sending him out there where, you know, you need these points. Like, if he had made his two field goals an extra point when the Ravens were going on that last drive, they would have been down by 7, and they would have been driving to tie the game.
Well, let's talk about the team that beat him, since we want to talk about trust. We saw what took place last year with the Eagles, and now they've added Saquon. The offense is rolling, humming. Eventually, they'll get Devontae Smith back as well. Do you trust Nick Sirianni? How do you feel about the Eagles overall?
I don't know that I necessarily trust Nick Sirianni. I feel really good about the way they're playing right now. I think that the coordinator hires they made this year have worked out obviously really well, really, really well for them in a way that last season's obviously did not. You know, Vic Fangio, he knows what he's doing, it turns out. You know, he's got that secondary, especially playing at as high a level as any group in the league. And, you know, even without a couple of their, you know, top guys on the defensive line, they were able to get a bunch of pressure on Lamar Jackson in this past game. That defense is just playing at an unbelievable level. And the offense, there's just so much talent that eventually they get to you. Even if they start off slowly, which they have done a lot of times this year, like, they're going to break a big play eventually, and the floodgates are going to open.
Jared Dubin is here with us, NFL sports writer for CBS. Safe to say, with the Ravens looking like they need to figure some things out, are we going to see another Chiefs-Bills playoff matchup? Like, what are we looking at in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Number one and two seeds right now. They got, obviously, a really good chance. I would the Bills already clinched their division. The Chiefs obviously have a very good chance to win their own division. I would imagine, like, I can't see really any scenario where one of those two teams isn't the number one seed. And, you know, if it's the Chiefs, they're going to host the AFC title game where they've hosted it, what, 5 of 6 years in Patrick Mahomes' career. And if the Bills get there, I wouldn't be surprised if they were hosting the AFC title game in Kansas City, had to travel there.
Well, let's stay on this idea of trust. If we go out to Detroit, and I got to think about Dan Campbell. Is he gambling all the way to the Super Bowl? They're going to go to the Super Bowl for him to gamble away the opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they necessarily consider it a gamble. I think that it's part of their strategy. Like, you could say it's just as big of a gamble to give the ball back to the other team as it is to, you know, try to go for it and keep the ball in your own hands. And obviously they've got, you know, arguably the best offensive line in the league, a quarterback that plays incredibly well within the context of that offense, two running backs that are playing, like, you know, at worst top 10 guys in the league. They've got one of the best slot receivers in the league, one of the best explosive receivers in terms of being able to make big plays down the field. Their tight end is really good. It makes sense to go for it when they've got the opportunity.
And speaking of coaches, we've heard Bill Belichick chime in on every and everything possible, as he's now a member of the media with about 5 different shows. What is the likelihood that we see him back with a program next year, especially given the fact in a lot of cases people are looking for quarterback whisperers?
I would think that if there's someone willing to give him full control, then he'll be back. I feel like that was probably a sticking point last year. I don't know necessarily how many teams are going to be willing to do that. I don't think any teams really should be willing to do that. Like we saw down the stretch of his time in New England, they were still coached well, you know, particularly on defense. The defense was still one of the best in the league. They didn't really have the talent, particularly on offense, because they just weren't bringing in good enough players on that side of the ball.
Well, there's a lot of thoughts, a lot of words being said about Mike McCarthy. And we know, even heading into the season, final year of his contract, it was only last week that Jerry Jones is like, hey, it's not a foregone conclusion that he won't get an extension. Dak Prescott is now sticking his neck out for him. Do you think Mike McCarthy is going to be the Cowboys head coach in about, I don't know, 6 weeks?
I'm a Cowboys fan, and I don't want him to be the head coach, which means he probably will be. That's the fan part of my brain. I don't, like, the thing is, I can say that because I'm not advocating for him to lose his job, because his contract is up at the end of the season. So either way, that's not necessarily his job, so I don't feel all that bad about it. But, you know, I think we've seen during his time there, like, they gave him a very low bar to clear. Do better than Jason Garrett did in a decade. And they have not cleared it. They've won, you know, one playoff game. They've been to the second round, and that's about it. And when you have as much talent on the team as they've had during that time, I think we've seen during his time there, like, he's not bringing much of anything, and he's probably taken stuff off the table as a game day coach in terms of his game management. And the offense, with the exception of, you know, like a 10-game stretch of last season, he's not brought that much there either, and that's supposed to be his specialty. He's now whiffed, he would say, on 2 of his 3 defensive coordinator hires. Like, what value really is he bringing to that job? But Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they would rather win their way and lose their way than admit that they got something wrong. That's why you wound up with Jason Garrett being there for 10 years.
Well, we know Jerry, he hasn't met a decision that he's going to give you an easy answer on. Final question for you. You talk about you being a Cowboys fan. I'm here in Atlanta with all the Falcons fans. They're looking at Penix, and they're already sick of Kirk Cousins. What do you think they should do, especially knowing that Kirk is getting ready to go up to Minneapolis?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's at the point where, you know, if you get one more game like what you've seen the last couple of weeks, like, how do you not give Penix at least a try? Like, the floor can't be much lower than what we've seen with Cousins. And are you really getting that much of a ceiling with what we've seen from Cousins this year? Like, you might as well give the guy who you drafted at number 8 overall a chance. Like, it's possible that he could elevate the talent around him further than what Cousins has done so far. And, you know, maybe give him one more shot. I don't think we're going to see Penix in there this week, certainly. Especially, like, do you really want him playing against that Vikings defense in his first start of his career? I think that would be less than ideal. But if Cousins goes up there and struggles again, like, you're still trying to win that division, it's, you know, you got to at least think about it.
Yeah, the thought is certainly there. I know everybody in the Falcons organization, they hear about it. It's talked about constantly here in Atlanta. Jared, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work?
Thanks for having me. It's cbssports.com/NFL for all of my stuff, all of our stuff there. And then, you know, I'm still on the old Twitter at JADubin5. And, you know, if you want to hear my thoughts mostly about, like, what TV shows I'm watching, and then complaining about bad coaching decisions on Sundays, that's where I'll be.
Oh, my God. Okay. Not a bad deal. Hey, Jared, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
No doubt about it. You too. That Jared Dubin, CBS sports writer, covers all things NFL. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, thinking about Belichick and what he does, and, you know, we talked about LeBron James being old and washed up. Like, everybody gets a time, right? I also agree with what Jared said about Jaden Daniels. You think about, yeah, he went ahead and hit a slump. There's so much more consistency throughout the course of the year. So Let's talk more about the potential rookie of the year's year at the end, or at, not the end, in the next break. Let's also talk about Bill Belichick and whether or not he's seen the end of his tenure as a head coach. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Jared Dubin from CBS Sports for joining us to talk some football, some NFL football, some pro football. The one where the guy's already making millions of dollars. And, well, damn it, I guess the guys in college are now making millions of dollars, too. So what the hell is the difference? At least one is structured right now. That's the NFL. Hickey, was there anything that Jared said that stood out to you? We talked about a lot from some of the contenders, some of the teams that are going nowhere, teams that need a coach. Anything that stood out to you?
I don't want to be selfish here, but I did like what he said about at the end about moving on from Kirk Cousins and giving Michael Penix Jr. a look. I think if you're the Falcons, and again, you're chasing a playoff spot with the Bucs right on your heels, I don't think you can afford to wait around it and just play out the string with Kirk Cousins and hope he turns it around. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Okay, I get it. Maybe I'll retreat on my stance of starting him this week.
Yeah, you got to see what happens. Give him one more chance and go from there. That's it. Simple as that. Nothing
Custer's or Cousins' last stand, then. If it's anything like Custer, it's not going to go well, but...
Cousins' last stand?
This is it.
They may steal your branding and use it for the game. Cousins' last stand. They're going to have a fancy graphic for that when the game opens up. Watch. When he heard it and stole it and attributed it to them. We'll see. We'll see what takes place. Pretty hilarious. Could you imagine if Bill Belichick was coaching his team? What the hell would he be doing right now? Would he even have this quarterback in? Well, I guess things would have been real different.
They would have drafted him in the first place.
What, Penix? Hell no, they wouldn't have taken Penix. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think Belichick's going to get a look next year? Somebody still is, right?
He's definitely going to get a look. And it would have to be, I think, to a ready-made team kind of like the Eagles,
yep,
where everything's in place and basically you just need a coach. Because I'm with Jared, too. Like, if you're the Bears, for example, if you're,
nope,
you know, the Jaguars,
nope,
and there's a lot of roster turnover you need to make on top of coaching, I'm not trusting them. And it sounds...
What, Belichick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
So that's where if you're Bill and you just want to coach, right? And I know you're saying no for, like, you know, just be a bad situation. Maybe he just wants to coach. Whatever. I mean, he'll just take any opportunity. I mean, forget what Bill wants for a second. If you're another team, why would you give Bill the entire power structure here when he's missed big time in drafts and his free agent signings have been subpar?
Only the Jaguars, I think, would give Bill Belichick, hey, run the show. And I don't know. The Jaguars, Hickey, the Jaguars got robbed by their own employee. I'm not putting anything past them. Shad Khan has to feel a little embarrassed given his comments before the season started about how the Jaguars are the best roster that's been put together and now they need in their history. They need to start winning now. Does he just wipe his hands and just say, all right, nope, just bring in Belichick, let him run things? Is he too prideful? I don't know. I think if there was going to be a team that say, hey, Belichick, just run the whole show, I think it would be the Jags. I think if there was going to be a team where he would probably fit the best to just show up and put everybody together, it would be the Eagles.
And the Jags, I mean, they did let Urban Meyer basically do whatever he wanted in that very short tenure he had. So
he did what he wanted to.
That he did. So him I can definitely imagine him, Bill, getting the power.
Him and Belichick have one thing in common, don't they?
They do what they want?
The young women. The young women.
Well... Urban, yes, younger married. For him. Bill goes young for almost anybody.
Ah, yeah. Well, at least Belichick's not married like the other guy.
That's true. Also, not messy.
Also true, not messy. Well, Bill Belichick all the time in the world on his hands. You know, he's been podcasting and on television. He's on this show and Manning Cast that. And he's everywhere. Bill Belichick is taking everybody's check. Well, he was on Pat McAfee's show. And as we discussed, we talked about with Jared Dubin as well, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, he put in his two cents about what the hell is going on with Justin Tucker and the Ravens. What would Belichick do? Listen to this.
When I look at Tucker, I don't see a lack of talent. He still has great height on the ball. The ball, you know, travels with plenty of distance. Clearly, there's some fundamental technique thing that he's not doing consistently, and that's caused him to miss both to the left and to the right. So I think, you know, what I would do is keep working on the fundamentals and the technique of the kick. I don't think there's a lack of talent. I think it's fundamentally there's just something that's not quite right here. And I know I'm sure that Justin and Coach Harbaugh and you know, the whole operation, the holder, the snapper, are all trying to get this, you know, down. I think he's definitely capable of doing it. But, you know, like you said, there's nobody else out there that you know, has more experience or has mentally been in more situations than Tucker has. I think I would go with Tucker.
Yeah. I just can't. He's going to get it. He's going to look good throughout the rest of the regular season. He's going to get to the postseason. And he's going to freeze. And at that point, Hickey, we said it last night. I think we're going to get that moment. He's going to look, Justin Tucker is going to look fine the rest of the regular season. He's going to look good enough for people to go, oh, well, he's looked good over the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 games. And now we're in the postseason. And he's going to blow it in the biggest moment.
I'm not even sold we're going to have any sort of confidence in him going into the postseason.
You're chopping him down. You think they're going to pull the plug?
No, I'm not even saying. I'm just saying, I don't think between now and January, right, the end of the regular season, I don't think we're going to feel like he's not hitting 8 of his next 9 kicks.
Okay.
I would be surprised if we're talking about Justin Tucker in any sort of a positive light heading into the postseason.
Outside of having a hit something, you know, further than 45, 50 yards, I think he's going to nail the kicks that make people go, okay, he's fine. He's okay. He's serviceable. We can keep him rolling. And then he's going to blow the big one. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I hear you. But I'm just saying, the kicks, I don't remember the exact yardage off the top of my head here from Sunday. It's like the kicks from Sunday were, you know, 55 yards.
Right. 40-something apiece, I think.
You know, he's missing now gimmies that were for him automatic for 95% of his career, and he's doing so at a pretty frequent pace.
He's just doing... I don't know. About 20 years ago, Chuck Knoblauch was trying to throw the ball to first base, and he was hitting fans in the stands. So that's what he's doing right now. We'll find out.
How does that change? You know, like that's when it's all mental. Is that? Can it flip in a week? Can it flip in a day? I have no idea.
I am going to find out how long it takes for me to become a sports psychologist.
Oh,
yeah. That's a doctor, though, right? I got to be a doctor. I ain't got time for that.
Maybe you can borrow Bo Nix's doctorate degree and just look, at this point, if you're the
Dr.
Ravens,
Nix.
You're desperate, right? I would take any advice you'd have to give him.
Yeah. Hickey, I'm having everybody mad at me. I'm going to have all types of doctors mad at me.
Dr. Sport Brief. Sounds good.
No.
You know what? If I had a kicker who had the yips and I needed someone to talk to him, I would give Dr. Sport Brief a call.
Just get it together. You suck. Like, it's not this tough. Like, when you're playing a game, you're getting paid millions of dollars, just kick the ball.
Oh, you're going to go, like, the no big deal route.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not what a sports psychologist, that's why they get paid the big bucks, right?
Would you bring him out a fancy chair, lay him down?
No, what do you think? This is Sopranos? No.
Justin, when you were 10, what trauma is holding you back?
No. It's not going to be that tough.
When you see this square, what does this square make you think of?
What square are you talking about?
Well, don't they just do that? I don't know what that term is called, but isn't that a therapy thing?
A square?
Like, you know, they'll hold like inanimate objects or like, it's like
an ink block?
Yeah, like what do you see when you see this shape? What comes to your mind?
I don't think it's that complicated. We have to talk to Ron Artest if we want to know what happens in a therapy session. I used to have Ron's number. Hey, big guess, he changed it, Hickey.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm surprised by that.
How many numbers you think Ron Artest has gone through in the past 20 years?
Oh, 10 at least.
What a guy. Nice guy, too, when he wasn't punching guys. Did we talk about that last week? This day in sports history, we had the Malice in the Palace, didn't we?
The anniversary was very recently. It was.
I think it was last Tuesday.
It was crazy.
It was last Tuesday. Malice in the Palace. November 19th. No, maybe something like that.
It was within the month for sure, last few weeks.
It was. Yeah, Ron Artest is a very nice guy. Unless you throw a beer at him, and he needs to punch you in the face. Or accidentally punch you in the face because he punched the wrong guy. It's just... So, can you imagine? You imagine got a 6'7". This dude is built like a truck. Walking up to you, just throwing a fist. That poor guy in the stands was standing there like, it wasn't me. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And thank God we don't have any of that in the NBA. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, man, there's so much that has taken place today in the world of sports. We're going to run around the world and check in what has taken place. College football playoff rankings. Might have a rookie of the year leader now with Bo Nix. People are saying LeBron is done. There's a lot to get into. College football playoffs, suspensions. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.